Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph on the top line. Our Gemara continues discussing what we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, halacha of when people in a city could prevent other people from outside of that city from doing certain types of business in the city. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amayder Rav Huna Bar Eder Yeshua, Baroichlan Hamachzirim Bar Yoros, peddlers who go around the town selling cosmetics, Tlaimotzim Akiv, that the people of the city cannot prevent those peddlers from doing business. Damamar, as we learned, Ezra Tikkun Yisrael, Ezra made up a rule by Klal Yisrael, Sheroichlan Machzirim Bar Yoros, the peddlers may go around the city selling cosmetics, so that these cosmetics should be available to Jewish women. Mefarshim discuss. From here we see that the din, that people of a city could prevent outsiders from doing business in the city, does not specifically apply to products manufactured in the city, but even products that are imported into the city from elsewhere, the halacha is that one can prevent outsiders from selling, because the Rishonim explained that it's probable that these cosmetics were not necessarily manufactured in the city, they were manufactured outside of the city, and yet our Mishnah is teaching us, the Gemara is teaching us, that they could be prevented from being sold in the city. Continues the Gemara. Vahani Mili. However, that din that we're allowing the peddlers to sell these wares is only if they're going to go from house to house selling these items. Avlik Bui, to set up shop in the city, loy, that is not permitted. However, says the Gemara, "Bitzivim Rabbanan Hu." If the person in question is a Talmud Chacham, afilu lakboi nami, even we allow him even to set up shop. Kiha the Rav Shalal Rav Oishi Rav Adya lakvui, they allowed Rav Oishi and Rav Adya to set up a shop in a different city than was their own city. D'loy hilchasa, not according to the halacha. My tama. Since they were Talmid Chachamim, we allow them to set up shop, because otherwise they would lose time from the learning. And as the Mefarshim explained, Chazal felt that it was more conducive for the learning of these Talmid Chachamim to set up permanent shop in the city, and they'll have a shop open a number of hours a day selling their wares, versus going from house to house and from town to town selling their wares, which would certainly be a bigger bittul Torah. The words "d'loy kehilchasa" are interesting to note, because what does it mean, "d'loy kehilchasa"? So the Ramah says that "d'loy kehilchasa" means that even though the halacha is, as we're learning and we'll continue learning, that an outsider cannot open a business in this city, here, because they were Talmid Chachamim, they did not rule like the regular halacha. Rather, they ruled that the halacha is that they could set up shop. Rashi, however, uses very interesting words. Rashi uses the words like hilchasa, it was lefnim mishur sadin, and the Beis Yosef asks, how could this be called lefnim mishur sadin? If the halacha is that a Talmud Chacham, if the halacha is that an outsider is not supposed to set up shop here, how could it be lefnim mishur sadin that he does set up shop in this city? So explains the Beis Yosef in explaining Rashi's position, that since all of these rules that we have been discussing, what a Talmud Chacham may or may not do, are all special rules. Not what anybody may do in a different city, are special rules that were designated by Chazal. So Chazal explained the Beis Yosef have a right to say that when these rules apply and when these rules should not apply. And this is indeed such a situation where Chazal decided that because these people are Talmidei Chachamim, the halacha should be that they should be allowed to set up shop here. I saw an interesting question, unfortunately a question that came up, that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein asks, and was asked, when people in Israel had to leave their communities because there were bombs falling, unfortunately, on different communities in Eretz Yisrael, and somebody came to a different community, may he sell his wares in that community? On one hand, he said that people never had to run away from their city, and they therefore should certainly be allowed to set up shop. On the other hand, they are hurting the local economy, the people who have businesses in this community. Especially, as Rav Zilberstein points out, given the fact that there are funds, stock of funds, government funds that are given to these people to live on while they had to run away from their communities, maybe the halacha should be that they should not be allowed to set up shop. So he's not quite certain what to say, and what he paskins is that they are allowed to sell, they are allowed to do business in the cities that they escape to, but they should only do enough to cover their basic cost of living. They may not actually do more commerce than that. Says the Gemara, Hani dekloy the ice dekloy lebavel. There were these people that sold baskets, who brought baskets to the city of Bavel. Also b'nei masa kamakvelayu, and the people of the city said that they should have no right to sell those baskets because they're bringing unfair competition into the city. And we already find a machloikis rishonim and how to understand this halacha. The Rishonim agree that if the product that they're bringing is a superior product, which is not available in the city, certainly say the Rishonim that product may be brought to the city. Furthermore, I saw that the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef says, that let's say the product they're bringing is actually an inferior product, but it's cheaper because it's inferior. The Beis Yosef also suggests that the halacha would be that they could bring that product into the city. That is equal, that is available in the city. You could find that quality product in the city, but they sell it for less. The Rimi Gash says that if they're selling it for a better price, then that they may bring it to the city. On the other hand, the Ramban says that that would disrupt the local economy, and that the halacha is that they may not bring in the same product that's already available in the city, even if they're selling it at a better price. So these outsiders were brought to Ravina, and Amalhu Ma'al Ma'asu, these people came from outside the city, and they should sell it to outside of the city. They have no right to sell it to the people of the city and disrupt the local economy. So therefore, since they are allowed to sell it to people from outside the city, says the Gemara, Hani mili b'yayim d'shuka. So on a market day, where the products that are being sold in the market are not limited to products available, are not limited to just the people in the city, they could sell their ware. Abul yayim d'shuka, if it's not the market day loy, they may not sell it. And on the market day that was saying that they're allowed to sell it, that's only elozvuni b'shuka. They could sell it strictly in the market. Avla hadure, to go from house to house, loy they may not do. I actually saw a machloikas apaiskim, because when they used to have a market, they used to have two types of market days. They had a market day, which they had on a weekly basis, for people to have the products they needed available at the market on a weekly basis. And then they had a lot, a big market day, a couple of times a year, where it was a very big sale. When the Gemara here says that they're allowed to sell the product on a market day, what situation is the Gemara referring to? The Bach says that's referring to every week's market day. However, the Chochma Shleima says that our Gemara is strictly referring to the major market day that happened once or twice a year, not to the weekly market. The Shar Mitzion Ba'alocha quotes a tshuva from the Marash Engel based on this Gemara. The question that he was asked was that there was a food manufacturing facility opened in a local community that wanted a hechsher. And the local Rav claimed that he had, that the right to give this hechsher belonged to him, because it was in a factory that was in his community. The hechsher, the Rav from another city who was approached to give the hechsher, suggested that since the products manufactured in this facility were not just being sold in this local community, rather they were being sold all over, it's not a hechsher that is entitled to that local rabbi. And the Marash Engel, based on our Gemara, where the Gemara just said a svara, or ma'alma osu, or la'alma lezvune, said that indeed the hechsher could be given even by the outside rav. It's interesting to note, since we're speaking about this, the Shar Mitzion Ba'alocha also quotes a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, that even though we learned in the previous year the concept of kinas soifrim tar b'chachma when it comes to Torah learning, and therefore the Gemara, the last piece of Gemara we learned yesterday, the Gemara's whole sugya was that yeshivas should be, there should be more yeshivas, there's no issue of competition by yeshiva. He says that that may be an issue as far as yeshivas is concerned, as far as Torah learning is concerned. But when it comes to discussing, says the Chassam Sofer, the one Rav in a community where another Rav wants to encroach in that community, perhaps says the Chassam Sofer that that is not permitted, because the Chassam Sofer says that there is already a question that Rabbanim today use Rabbanis as a form of a livelihood, and if another Rav will come into the community, it may encroach on the Panosa of the first Rav. Says the Gemara, Hani Amaroi the Isa Amril from Nahara. They were these individuals who sold wool, that brought wool to the city of Pom Nahara. And the people of the city said they should have no right to sell wool here. Osla Kamedra of Kahana. The question was brought to Rav Kahana, Omlahu, and he said to him, Dinuhu de Ma'akvelaihu. They have every right to stop you from selling this, you can't sell in this city. However, says the Beis Yosef, that's only if they want to sell a little wool at a time, which would, of course, harm the local merchants. But if they want to sell large lots, wholesale, of wool, that is permitted even for outsiders. Because he says that's the way of commerce, and certainly the purpose of the halacha that we're learning is not to impede business flow. But these merchants said, Islan Ashroi, we have creditors in the city, and we can't, and we need to remain in the city in order to sell, in order to wait till we collect the monies due to us. Amalu so said, if that's the case, Zil Zabinu Shircha Yusaihu, you have a right to remain here and sell what you need to live. Ad the Akrisa Shraichu de Dechu, until you collect all your receivables, Vazlis when you go. And Taisus points out that they're not obligated specifically to live there just to have from hand to mouth. Certainly the Rabbonim can determine how much they need to live comfortably. You can't expect them to sell every day just what they need that day to live on. Says the Gemara, Rav Dimi min Hador Isa Gregers Pesvina. Rav Dimi min Hador brought figs on a boat. Amalei Resh Gerosu L'Rava. So Resh Gerosu said to Rava, Pachazi, go examine, eat Tzorva Merabonon Hu, Nakele Shuka. If he's a Talmud Chacham, as part of the special treatment we give to Talmidei Chachamim, is that Talmidei Chachamim are given first that first opportunity to sell their wares. So let's see if he's a Talmud Chacham. Amar Rav, go check. So Rav said to his Talmud, Rav Adabar Abba, Potar Elebi Kankani, go check him, go examine him. And the Mechas Yitzchak explains what is the wording Potar Elebi Kankani. A Kankani means a barrel of wine. We know that there is a similar characteristic, explains the Mechas Yitzchak, between a Talmud Chacham and wine. Wine, as it gets older, it gets better. Talmidei Chachamim also calls man shemaskinin, as they get older, datan mesyashavas aleihem, they also get better. And therefore he said, go check if he is indeed a Talmud Chacham. Nofak Ozel, so Rav Adbar Hava went to test Rav Dimi. Boimenei, and he asked him the following question. Pil shabola kfifa mitzvus. If elephant swallows a wicker basket, and then he expels it from his body, mahu, what is the halacha? So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that the halacha is that kli glolim, utensils made out of waste, are not makabel tumah. And the question is, if this wicker basket that passed through the animal's system is considered like kli glolim. Another pshat that I saw is in the Rishonim is that the halach is that a keli, if it becomes tamei, if afterwards it's broken and then it's reconstructed, it loses its tumah. And the question that he was asked was that this keli that went through the system of the animal, through the digestive system of the elephant, is it considered as if it's broken? Mefarshim point out, why was this specific question asked versus any other question? So Mefarshim explained that he was asking him a question about Tumat Tahara because he wanted to examine if he was a Talmud Chacham, and the power of Torah is to make somebody who's Tumay Tahar, and that's why he asked him a question regarding Tumah B'Tahara. Lohave B'Yadei, Rav Dimi was unable to answer. Amalei Ma Niu Rabba, are you considered, are you Rava? Rav Dimi said to Rav Adabar Abba, not knowing, are you Rava? Tafach Lebesandli. So Rav Adabar Abba hit him with his shoe, hit him on Rav Dimi's shoe. Amalei Bendi Di L'Rava Iketuva. Between me and my Rebbe Rava, there's a great gap. However, miu akorcha anor rabach. I am obviously greater than you, because I can ask you a question that you can't answer. For Rava Rabba the Rabach, and Rava is greater than me. He's the Rebbe of your Rebbe. And lo nakal leishuka. And therefore, since he failed the test, he did not allow him. He didn't give him the special treatment that Talmidei Chacham are entitled to. Question is, why tafach lebesandle, that he hit him with the shoe? So I saw two pshatim that the Ben Yoyada suggests. One pshat is that the Gemara many times uses the wording regarding somebody who wasn't a Talmud Chacham, lematzah yada v'ragloi bebeis hamedrash. So he hit him on the foot, that you're a person that's lematzah yada v'ragloi bebeis hamedrash. Another pshat that I saw is that even though Rav Dimi was not proven to be a Talmud Chacham, Rav Dimi was a tremendous Baal Chesed. And what he used to always do is always escort his guest. So he tapped him on the shoe. You may be a great Baal Chesed, and you're always careful to escort people, but you're not necessarily a great Talmud Chacham. So, since Rav Dimi did not get the special treatment, Pasad Groigris today. So Rav Dimi's dried figs spoiled. He didn't sell them. Also Kamed Rav Yosef Amalei. And he went and told Rav Yosef what happened. Chazi Mar Mai Avdili, look what happened to me. Amalei, Mandala Shaila Nusa de Malkad Adam. So Rav Yosef said, the one who avenged Melech Edom as he was humiliated, loy nishalin nusach, should also not forgive your humiliation. Tiksev koyam Hashem, ashlosh peshe moyav, valabaloy shivenu, al sofa atvus melech edom lesid, that they burnt the body, they cremated the body of Melech Edom, and for that, he was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Nekama in the Edom. Noch Nafshe the Rav Ada Bar Abba, and Rav Ada Bar Abba passed away. So Mepharshim point out that Rav Dimi indeed failed the test. So why was Rav Dimi upset, and why was Rav Yosef upset? So the simple pshat is that Rav Dimi was upset that he was hit on the foot. Even if he failed, he should not have been embarrassed that way. Another pshat is that Rav Dimi said, maybe I couldn't answer a question and say the Taharis, which is not that well known, was not that well known already then to tell me the Chachamim. But he should have asked me a question, and Moyed, and Noshim, and Nezikim, there I would have been able to pass the test. Another pshat that I saw is that actually, and this was what Rav Dimi's point was, the Rav Dimi says that this question that was asked about the wicker basket that goes through the system is actually a question that the Gemara leaves open. So Rav Dimi's issue was, why were they upset at me and not knowing the answer? It's a question that we find that remains unanswered. And the answer, and the point was that even if it's a question that remains unanswered, you should have at least try to bring raya's. Rav Chaim Kreisworth explains that the way of a Talmud Chacham is that even if he's not successful in being able to answer a question, is that he at least tries to bring proof and tries to attempt to answer the question. The complaint that they had to him was that he didn't answer the question at all. Rav Yosef Amar, so Rav Yosef said, Ana Anishtei, I was the person that caused Rav Dimi, Rav Ada Bar Abba, to pass away, that not like to say, because I cursed him. As Tosfos points out, the Gemara now is going to bring a number of episodes which the Gemara is going to suggest might have been the cause of Rav Ada Bar Abba's death. Why is the Gemara doing this? Because the Gemara says Tosfos, that Kol whoever caused that somebody else should be punished is not allowed into the mechitzah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he wanted to try to figure out who these Talmid Chacham wanted to know, if they were the ones that caused Rav Ada Bar Abba to be punished and that they need to do tshuva. So Rav Yosef said, I was the one that caused his death. Rav Dimi and Adama, it was me. The Afsa Gregor Sadi, he caused me to lose my figs, and then they punished him. Abayama Anonishte, I was the one that caused him to be punished. Domal Rabbanan, Rav Ada Rav Abba would say to the Talmid Chachamim, Ad Gemrista Garmi Bar Abaya, instead of chewing bones in the yeshiva of Abaya, to Ichla Bistra Shmeina Bei Rava. It's much better to learn in the yeshiva of Rava. So he sort of insulted Abaya, and then because of that, he passed away. Rava ma'anon nishti, it was me that caused him. When Rav Ada Bar Abba would go to the butcher shop to buy meat, he would say to the butcher, I should be served before Rava's assistant. I'm greater than him. So the Farshim asked, it was Rav Ada Bar Abba that at the beginning of the sugya who claimed how great Rava was. And here, how could he ask to be served before Rava? So the Ritva, as the Marsha explains, that it wasn't Rav Ada and Rava who were together in the store. Certainly Rav Ada Bar Abba would have wanted Rava to be served. It was Rav Ada Bar Abba and Rava's assistant. And Rav Ada Bar Abba said, since I'm a greater Talmud Chacham than Rava's assistant, I should be served first. But that was incorrect, because since the assistant was acting as a shliach of Rava, the halach is shlucha shel adam k'maisai, and therefore Rava's assistant should have been served first. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar, ana nishtei, I was the one that caused him to be punished. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak resh kalahava. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak was the Magid Shir who used to say the shiurim during the major times when they got together, Shabbos, Yom Tov. However, Kol Yoyma Mekam Deneil Kala, every time before he said the shir, Ma'at Bahadeir of Adabahab Lashmatze, he would review the shir together, quickly review the shir together with Rav Adabar Abba. Fahad Ayel Kala, and then he would enter to give the shir. Hahu Yoyma, the day that Rav Adabar Abba passed away, Naktu Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereidir of Shul of Adabar Abba, Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereidir of Shul were learning with Rav Adabar Abba, and they asked him to learn with them. They weren't at the final shir that Rava gave on Masechta Bechairis, and therefore they asked Rav Adabar Abba Amrlei. They said to him, "Emelon, Hani Shmatz the Mas Behema. What did Rava say in the shir on Perik Maisa Behema, which is the last Perik of Masechta Bechairis?" Amalu, so Rav. He said to them, "Hachama Rav Acher Rava." Rav Adabar Abba repeated the shir. Adahachi, while he was repeating the shir, Nagalel Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he got delayed in coming to review where Nachman Yitzchak his shir that he was about to present. Amalei Rabban Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and Rabbanan said to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, "Kum the Logalon Lama Yosef Mar." They asked him to begin his Kalashir, it's getting late. Amalahu, and he was upset because of Adabar Abba had not arrived that he could review the shir before he were going to present it. Yesivna, so he said, "I'm sitting in the commandrail La'arse of Adabar Abba. I'm waiting for the coffin of Adabar Abba." Adach Nafakala, as he said this, the news came, the Nach Nafshei. The Rav Adabar Abba actually passed away. And says the Gemara, "Umestabra the Nachman Yitzchak Anshei." Rav Adabar Abba actually passed away because of the last episode that Rav Nachman Yitzchak cursed him. And as the Mefarshim explained, certainly it was not Rav Nachman Yitzchak's goal to curse and cause that Rav Adabar Abba should pass away. Rather, he was upset. And as the Chazon Ish explains, he was upset because he felt there was a lack of covered HaTorah shown here, and that's why he said these very sharp words, not Chas V'Shalom with the intent of actually cursing Rav Adabar Abba, but as we know, says the Chazon Ish, that Kishkoga Yotzim of Fnei HaShalit, if a Talmud Chacham says something, it happens, and that's why Rav Adabar Abba passed away. Says the Gemara, "Mishayi kaisle samach lekaisel chaveri." If somebody's wall is next to somebody else's wall, la yismach lekaisel acher, the second person should not put up another wall near the first wall. Elm ken hirchik mimena arba amos, unless there's a distance of 4 amos between the walls. And we'll explain this din in a moment in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah further, "Hachaloinus, windows. One should not build a window next to somebody else's window. Beim lamala, beim lamata, on whether it's on top or on bottom of that window, or mekanegdim, or right in front of the window, unless there's a distance of 4 amos. The Shailos Tshuva Shevet Alevi says that many of these halachas are not relevant bizman hazeh, given that Bizman Hazeh we live in homes that are right next to each other, and people have window shades, people are moichel each other, and therefore the set of rules governing these situations is very different Bizman Hazeh. There is also a very fundamental machloikis hapoiskim. The Rishonim explain that certainly the main issue here is that one should not look into somebody else's window. And that's why we should distance one window from the other window, Dalet Amos, to prevent looking into another window. But the question that comes up is if there is also concern of blocking the sunlight of someone else's window. The Mabit says that is also a consideration in building and blocking a window. The Merabach says that is not a factor in the discussion regarding windows. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to build one wall next to the other wall unless there's a distance of Dal Ramas. Ask the Gemara, the Kama Haychasamach. The Mishnah speaks about the second person putting up the wall, not putting up his wall. But how did the first person put up his wall without properly distancing it? Amar Rav Yehuda Hachikama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Haba Lismaich. If somebody wants to put up a wall next to somebody else's wall, La Yismaich, he may not put up that wall, Elm Ken Hirchimena Arbamas, unless he distanced his wall by Dalar Amis. Mask of La Rava, Vamishai Kaisla Samakal Kaisla Chavarikdani. Amish speaks about a case when one wall was close, that there was two walls near each other. Elam Rava, this is the way to understand. Achitani. Mishai Kaisla Samakal Kaisla Chavarai, Barachak Arbamis. And we had two walls next to each other with the proper distance of Dalar Amos between the two walls. But then the Nafal, and then one of the walls falls down. So now when the second person comes, when the person whose wall fell down comes to rebuild his wall, the halacha is, La Yismach Lai Kais Lacher, he should not rebuild his new wall, Elm Ken Hechik Mena Dalar Amos, unless he distances it by four Amos. And as the Rishonim explained, why did the Mishnah specifically choose to speak about such a case where there were two walls properly distanced, and then they were, one fell down, and then it's the question of being rebuilt? Why didn't the Mishnah just speak about a simple case that two walls should be distanced by four amos? Explains the Gemara. That's the Gemara's question. My Tama, why do we have this restriction? And why is this restriction so significant, even in the case when it comes to rebuild? The Dafsh the Hakam Alasim. Because the walls are strengthened by people walking between the walls. That strengthens the foundation of the wall. And the Mishnah is teaching us that not only is when a new wall constructed, is there a halacha that we need to strengthen the walls because they're new walls, but even by existing walls, we want to strengthen the wall. And that's why if the wall fell and it's coming to be rebuilt and it's ready next to an existing wall, there's still the concern of dafsha, which requires that there should be a distance of Dalar Amos. Ask the Rajba a very obvious question. Why do I have to distance my wall, four Amos, from my neighbor's wall, just for Dafsha, just to strengthen his wall? So the Rashi answers that our Gemara is referring not to a normal case. There I would not have to build distance and lose real estate, lose property, just to strengthen my neighbor's wall. But it's referring to a situation where my neighbor bought a piece of property from the government. And the halacha assumes that when I buy a wall from the government, included in that purchase is the right to have the Dalar Amos next to the wall for the purpose of Dafsha. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that's referring to a situation where it's already 3 years that my neighbor has this Dalar Amos next to his wall for the dafsha. So he already has a chazaka on for the dafsha, and once he has a chazaka for the dafsha, he maintains that chazaka. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is, as we learned in Masecht Bava Kama, every person has an obligation to be machrik nezakif, to prevent doing damage to someone else. And this is included in the category of hachakas nezakim, that I should give my neighbor the opportunity to have his wall strong. Amar Rav, however, points out Rav that this halacha of dafsha, and therefore the halacha of dalar amos, loishana, only applies ela kaisel gina, by the wall next to a garden. Since people don't walk on the garden, and therefore from that side the wall won't be strengthened, so we have to leave room for dafsha on the other side where people walk. Ava kaif shel chatzar, when it's a kaif of a chatzar, there people are walking in the chatzar, so therefore the wall is strengthened from the side of the chatzar, and therefore the neighbor from the other side in Baal Lismaich, if he wants to, Samech, he can make the new wall next to it. Rabbi Shyama, however, Echad Kaisel Ginav, Echad Kaisel Chatzar, whether it's a wall of a garden or a wall of a chatzar, in Baal Lismaich, Eina Samech, he may not. Amar Yais Bechanina, really, V'lai Pligi, there is no machlokes here. Havi Ishana, in an existing old town where the walls are already strong, there is no purpose of Dafsha. Havi Irchadasha, in a new city, there is a requirement for Dafsha, and you'll have to rebuild the wall, whether it's Echad Kaisel Gina, Vechad Kaisel Chatzar. What is the definition of a new city versus an old city? I saw a number of opinions amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that really depends, every city is different. Other Rishonim suggest that the Ruma actually paskins, quoting a Mordechai, that 50 years after a wall is standing 50 years, it's considered an old wall. The Shach actually says that the Rama is misquoting the Mordechai, and that the Mordechai doesn't say 50 years, he actually says 60 years. And a third opinion I saw is that Chadash and Yishana are defined that if people remember when this wall was erected, that's a Chadasha. If there's no one that remembers the construction of this wall, it's considered Yishana. Tanan. Asked Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Hachaloinos, the windows. Whether the new window that's being constructed is above, below, or right in front of the old window, Arba Amis. You have to distance Dalar Amis. V'tanei Alo. And the Braisa, explaining our Mishnah, said, Mamala, the reason you need to leave the distance on top, that somebody should not be able to lean over the wall and look into into his neighbor's window. Similarly, Malmatan, we need to leave the Dalar Amis, that you shouldn't look in. Mekenegdan Shlayapal, that you shouldn't look in. Tama, so we see that this is the concern. Al Mishum Dafsha, the concern of Dafsha doesn't exist. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinan. Our Mishnah the Bryce is referring to a situation, Babam and Atzad, where the new wall is perpendicular to the old wall. So there's only a very small amount of area that the new wall and the old wall are next to each other. There, Chazal did not make the Gzeira of Dafsha. The Raisa did not say how much of an area is needed for Shlayapel that one shouldn't darken. In other words, when the issue is not looking into another window, so there the halacha is that it's Dalar Amis. But how much is the distance for darkening? Amarav Yeva Chamudish Ashen Banadach Mishmei the Rav. The equivalent of the width of a standard window, which is a tefach. Ask the Gemara, how could it be enough to distance one window right from in front of another window just by a tefach? Won't the person be able to look in to his neighbor's apartment when there's just a tefach separating their windows? Answers the Gemara, Omer Razvid, b'madas kaislay. The Braisa is referring to a sloping wall, and therefore, since it's sloping, you can't stand on it and peer into your neighbor's property. So, as we explained a moment ago, that in a situation where the walls are perpendicular, there is no reason to separate for Dafsha. Ask the Gemara, V'nan T'nan, our Mishnah says Arba Amis, and our Mishnah says Arba Amis in all situations, even in a situation where one window is facing the other window. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha, and where one wall is perpendicular to the other wall. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha, Kami Ruach Achas, if it's only one wall perpendicular to another wall, then Dalar Amis is not required. One tefach is sufficient. Kamishtei Ruchis, that if there are two new walls perpendicular to an existing wall, those two new walls should be distanced from each other by Dalet Amos. Toshma, Vasakoitzel Mana Maschila, the Mishnah, next Mishnah teaches us that a wall has to be distanced from the gutter of a neighbor's house by Dalet Amos. Kedei Shiyoykev as a Sulam, in order that a neighbor should have a place in which he could climb up the ladder to clean out his gutters. Tama, so we see that the reason you need to have room next to your wall is Mishum Sulam, that you should be able to put up the ladder. Avo Mishum Dafsha Loi, not because of Dafsha, answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there's a maschila mushupas. There's a gutter which is on a slanty roof, which overhangs on the area between the two walls. So, dafsha is not a consideration, because the area under the overhang is where people still walk, which will create a situation of dafsha. So, im misham dafsha hu, if the whole concern were dafsha, we don't have a concern of dafsha here, because people could walk here. The entire concern, therefore, is just to be able to put up a ladder for my neighbor to climb up and clean up his clean his gutters. Says the Mishnah, "Machikim as a sulam and a shayvach." One has to distance his ladder from his neighbor's nest by arba amos. Why? Kadesh loy tikfetz anemia. Weasels should not be able to climb up the ladder and go into the my neighbor's nest. That's a kaisel menaschila. The halacha we just learned: somebody has to distance a wall 4 amos from the gutters of his neighbor's house. Kadesh loy zaykefetz asulam, in order that my neighbor should be able to put up his ladder and go clean up his gutters. Ask the Gemara. Lema masnisin the like Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah seems not to follow, asked the Gemara, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Dam I Rabbi Yossi. Hamar, we learned, and we're going to learn the Mishnah soon, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is, Zechayf b'tayach shaloi, v'zena teya b'tayach shaloi. That we know that a tree, as we've discussed, can cause damage to a pit. And therefore the Rabbanim say that I have to distance my tree by 25 amos from the pit of my neighbor. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says that I don't have to. That ala nizik, as we explained, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is ala nizik laharchik esatzmai, and I am planting a tree on my property. There is no reason that I have to distance my tree, even though it could potentially cause damage to my friend. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is that even though many of the Mishnayos of our Perek don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara's question here is this Mishnah the same, according to Rashi, the same as those Mishnayos, and Rabbi Yossi will be disagreeing in this Mishnah also. However, Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees. Rabbeinu Chananel says that most of the Mishnayos of our Perek, Rabbi Yossi actually agrees. Because in most of the situations, the damage that's being done is directly because of my act. And because it's directly because of my action, it falls into the category of Giri Delay. And Rabbi Yossi agrees that in a situation of Giri Delay, I'm not allowed to create a situation of Giri delay. The Gemara's question is, here it's not my action. It's the weasel that's going to climb up the ladder. And therefore the Gemara wants to know what will be Rabbi Yossi's opinion regarding the din of our Mishnah. And says the Gemara, I feel a tame Rabbi Yossi, Homer of Ashi, our Mishnah can follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Ashi said, Kavina Berif Ka'ana have a Oma, Maid Rabbi Yossi be Giri the day. Hachanami Zimnan, the Bahad of the Manachlei, as I'm putting up my ladder, immediately Yasu b'chav b'kavtza, the weasel jumps up and starts climbing up the ladder, and therefore even Rabbi Yossi will agree that it's Osir because it falls under the category of Gira Delay. Ask the Gemara, but isn't this still a situation of Groma? I didn't do the damage. I just caused the situation that the animal should climb up. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Tubi ben Masna, Zoy Samaris, Groma ben Zakin is Osir. That Groma ben Zakin is Osir. So the Mefarshim ask that our Gemara seems to say that a chiddush, that Groma ben Zakin is Osir. Of course Groma ben Zakin is Osir. Isn't there a din of a haftal reacha kamaicha, and that you shouldn't cause your friend any damage? So the Mefarshim say, of course the concept of a haftal reacha kamaicha teaches us that I have to be careful with my friend's property. But that doesn't have anything specifically to do, is it or isn't considered a hezek. That's why we need our Gemara to say that this is considered a Groma ben Zakin, and a Groma ben Zakin is Osir. And that's why some Rishonim say that the Gemara's Chiddush is even according to the Rabbanon, that the halacha is that this is a Groma, and Groma ben Zakin is Osir, and the Groma ben Zakin is Osir. It's interesting that I saw from Rav Zilberstein that he asks, if our Gemara is teaching us that I'm not allowed to put a ladder next to my friend's property, so my friend should have access to cleaning, and I shouldn't let the weasel climb up. He asked, could a neighbor of an upper apartment prevent a neighbor of a lower apartment from putting up gates on his window, because he could claim it would make it easy for intruders to climb up to the higher apartment by climbing on the gates? Is that also included in the din of our Mishnah? And he actually paskins that is not the case of Groma ben Zakin, that our Mishnah says is also.